This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in the third book of the Psalter with Psalms 74 through 77. Arise, O God! God will judge with equity. Who can stand before you? In the day of my trouble, and I will remember. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered here to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father and seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. And for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant us the spirit to hear your word and know the one thing needful, that by your word and spirit we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from Colossians chapter 1. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, in which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Amen.
I
believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. That's a profound claim in a world like ours. And the ability of Jesus to reduce everything down to just one thing of all things for us, one thing as being necessary for all of life. Cutting to the chase, there is only one thing necessary when you rise then every morning of every day of your life, one thing, and that is hearing the word of God at the feet of Jesus. The Father in heaven gave great exclamation of this very thing when at the transfiguration of Jesus, at whose feet was Peter, James, and John, he breaks open the heavens and he cries out to the world and says of his Son, "Listen to him." It's that important. Therefore, when Jesus came as guest into their house, Mary then sat at his feet, listening to his words and his teaching. But her sister Mary was distracted by much serving in hosting this guest of theirs, Jesus. And when she goes then to seek Jesus' rebuke of her sister for not helping, it's quite a different response than what she was expecting. "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." What just happened here? Jesus is teaching that we can be so distracted by things that are even truly good that we miss the one thing necessary and most important, hearing the teachings of Jesus that brings about the kingdom of God in your life. His eternal kingdom, the good portion, he says, that will not be taken away. More specifically, in Dr. Just's commentary on Luke, he speaks here of two kinds of hospitality at work. And certainly Martha's hospitality is generous and it's appropriate to the occasion of having a guest in your home. And we can relate to her. Serving her most important guest now is the teacher come from God, and that is a priority. And there's no question on this. Mary, on the other hand, had a different hospitality in mind that was afforded to her guest, first and above all things, to sit at his feet and to listen to what he has to teach. Jesus himself defends this very thing and tells us that this is the greatest of all priorities, even beyond that of serving him. And again, as noted in Dr. Just's commentary, the most fundamental part of the hospitality shown to wandering missionaries is to receive and hear the preaching of the kingdom. So everything now is ordered divinely and rightly. Yet Martha feels justified in her complaint to Jesus about Mary's rude neglect of her duty to help her. But could this also betray another underlying justification that is prone to all human hearts, one by the law, which most likely explains her added anxieties and problems that Jesus saw in her, that she was plagued by, and everyone on this planet who lives under the curse of the law? Note the distinction. Mary, at the feet of Jesus, is not anxious and burdened like Martha is. In fact, it would not be out of order here to say that she was probably quite peaceful and calm, absorbed in his word, ministered to by what he was speaking. This really is the most important teaching that you must learn here as seminarians who will one day preach the gospel. It is central and the most central to your seminary training. You must learn your place as that of first and foremost at the feet of Jesus. Mary's devotion at the feet of Jesus echoes that of another woman, a foremost sinner, who, after hearing Jesus, kneeled at his feet and anointed his feet with her tears, and then wiped his feet with her hair. Here is the why and the what of what Jesus said to Mary in her choosing the good portion that will not be taken away from her. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I will tell you what I told both congregations that I have served. That when I went to seminary, I became the biggest sinner. Now, I'm sure you can imagine the shock on their face and what lay behind that shock that betrayed the question that was ringing in their heads: what do they do at the seminary? Exactly. Exactly. What do they do at the seminary? They place you right here at the feet of Jesus in chapel. And this is the place where the more I learned about Jesus and I saw him for who he is, the more I learned about myself and saw myself for what I am. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, says Paul, of whom I am the foremost. And yet then singing, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me," at the feet of Jesus. And then after this hospitality of hearing our Lord, that it was given then to the preaching, the serving began after a feast prepared, a body given and blood shed and put in the cup of the New Testament for us Christians to eat and to drink, right on the altar, the cup of eternal life, of rich food full of marrow and aged wine well refined. Does that sound familiar to you? It is the pattern of the divine service. It is the pattern of the holy ministry. It is the way of eternal life. This is how you were formed into the image of the one who you will serve also with a word and a feast to his people. Therefore, I tell you, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. That what flows from Jesus now flows from you. Much love. And this is what prepares you for the office you are being called to do what he first did to you in his mercy and love, which is truly at the heart of all that you will do for him in bringing his kingdom to the people of this world as pastors and also families of pastors, to love as he loves. And he loves the people with his word. And you also, with Bible and cup in hand, in heart, in soul, in mind, and with all your strength, you love one another and love your people with the word of God. And I will tell you, it will be the joy of your life. This is what they do at the seminary. And now look again, a feast for you. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us call on him to keep us faithful to his word and joyful in confessing Christ to all people. For the one holy Christian and apostolic church, that she may continually cling to the word of truth and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, let us pray to the Lord. For our missionaries, that they would be defended from all harm and encouraged in the Lord's work, let us pray to the Lord. For those who lead our nation, state, and communities, that they may wisely and honestly serve the people of this land, and for all our citizens, that God would sustain us in our life together, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and injured, for the homebound, and all those requesting our prayers, that they would be healed according to the Lord's merciful and gracious will, let us pray to the Lord. For those who are burdened by physical, mental, or spiritual trials, that the Lord would cut short their sufferings and encourage them with his promise that he will not allow them to be tempted beyond what they can bear, let us pray to the Lord. For all who commune at the Lord's altar this day, that they would recognize Christ's body and blood hidden under bread and wine and receive him in repentance and true faith for forgiveness and life, let us pray to the Lord.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Know indeed that all your sins are forgiven. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.